Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 5, Episode 160 of this daily study podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today as we continue our study of this week's Come Follow Me material, studying in December the 11th to December the 17th in Revelation chapters 6 to 14. And today we are going to continue with our study by looking at Revelation 7 and how and what hope happens when the sixth seal is opened. Now, I have kind of skipped ahead from Revelation 6, didn't quite finish that in detail. But basically, the sixth seal opens and there's great calamities and natural disasters. But within this sixth seal, we also find the events of chapter 7. To begin with, it says, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." So the idea of this, the four corners and the four angels, is representing a geographical fullness, a fact that what is about to be explained will happen across the earth, that the restoration of the gospel will take place and it will cover the earth and every land or, you know, virtually every continent will have the opportunity to have this gospel preached and shared with the earth. President Wilford Woodruff said this, quote, "God has held the angels of destruction for many years, lest they should reap down the wheat with the tares. But I want to tell you now that those angels have left the portals of heaven and are hovering over the earth, waiting to pour out the judgments. And from this very day they shall be poured out. Calamities and troubles are increasing, and there is a meaning to these things. Remember this and reflect upon these matters. If you do your duty, and if I do my duty, we'll have protection and shall pass through the afflictions in peace and in safety." Close quote. The things that are talked about in Revelation are global. It's not just a kind of specific area or a specific portion of land where these things will take place. It is going to happen across the earth. In verses 2 and 3, one of these angels cries, saying to not hurt the earth, basically, till, in verse 3, "we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Now, obviously, we see the word sealed, and a number of things come to mind there with that, particularly the sealing ordinance of the temple, and how, as members of Christ's church and followers of Christ, we are able to be sealed as his. Specifically in the everlasting covenants of marriage, and how that sealing with spouses, children, parents, ancestors is an important part of what the earth's purpose is when you think about what we read in Malachi. And so this is a reminder to us about the importance of that ordinance and the work that is done in the temple. So a reminder of the need to put ourselves forward and make sure that we are engaging in that work. And then, of course, it's no coincidence that in verse 9 we read, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." So, again, this imagery of individuals gathered together and an innumerable number clothed in white. We've just been talking about sealing. We've just been talking about how the work in the restoration is geared towards having people in that temple sealed to one another, having the promises made sure to them made to Abraham, and then we read about people dressed in white. I think that we can see a great parallel there about what's being spoken about. If we skip ahead to verse 13, it says, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" As a latter day kind of interpretation, we can easily point toward the temple and those individuals there, but it gives us a bit of an answer in verse 14. It says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So, of course, part of that process of being clothed in white and in the temple is repentance and is being changed and cleansed from an old creature to a new creature in Christ. Lynn A. Mickelson said this, quote, "So what should we do with dirty linen? The process begins with repentance. The Saviour stands at the door and knocks. He is ready to receive us immediately. Our responsibility is to do the work of repentance. We must abandon our sins so the cleansing can begin. The promise of the Lord is that he will cleanse our garments with his blood. He gave his life and suffered for all our sins. He can redeem us from our personal fall. Through the atonement of the Saviour, giving himself as a ransom for our sins, he authorizes the Holy Ghost to cleanse us in a baptism of fire. And as the Holy Ghost dwells in us, his purifying presence burns out the filthiness of sin. As soon as the commitment is made, the cleansing process begins." Close quote. I love that because it's a really powerful explanation of how the repentance process, first of all, how important it is, but also just how immediate and how instant it can be in our lives if we are committed and we are sincere in our repentance. We cast out our sin, begin that process of change, and immediately the Spirit can enter our hearts and begin to change us. It's just a great blessing to know this. And going forward into verse 15, it says, "Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." I find it fascinating that in this verse we have a mention of serving in the temple day and night. And this is, of course, you know, not an Old Testament reference to the temple or a tabernacle, but this is John, you know, decades after the Saviour has been, speaking about the importance of serving day and night in the temple. He's looking ahead not only, you know, from his time perspective, but also in the sixth seal, the latter day times, that serving in the temple will be an important part of being cleansed or being clean. And so we see the importance and the need for temples in latter days today. Hence why, you know, we have, is it 300 temples announced, dedicated or under construction. I think it's just a marvellous blessing that we have so many temples and will seemingly continue to have so many temples across the earth to do this work. It's just, the promises then are given in verses 16 and 17. It says, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them nor any heat." And it also says in verse 17, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." So there's this idea of relief, being cleansed, being led to the Saviour. President Elder Dieter Fuchtdorf said this, quote, "It is my testimony that many of the deepest regrets of tomorrow can be prevented by following the Saviour today. If we have sinned or made mistakes, if we have made choices that we now regret, there is the precious gift of Christ's atonement through which we can be forgiven. We cannot go back and change the past, but we can repent. The Saviour can wipe away our tears of regret and remove the burden of our sins. His atonement allows us to leave the past behind and move forward with clean hands, a pure heart, and a determination to do better, and especially to become better." Close quote. I'm so grateful for that promise. And, you know, Revelation chapter 7 is just a wonderful kind of encapsulation of the importance of sealing families together, the temple in the latter days, moving the work forward, the church, the work of salvation that we often use the phrase in the church, and of course the importance of the atonement within all of that to help us make personal change as well. Thank you so much for listening today. Hope you have enjoyed the study. And again, like I say, join us tomorrow where we will continue with the study of Revelation. Until we meet again.